I'm preaching from Colossians 4:2 this morning. Colossians 4:2. Last week we learned from Colossians 4:3-4 about helping ministers of God's word by praying for them. Now I want to focus in on 4:2 and emphasize this for you to not just pray, but to be devoted to the practice of prayer in everything. Praying and prayer in everything. And it emphasizes for you to do these things. And if you think about it, prayer is one of the greatest privileges that you have. I would say next to salvation, it's one of the greatest. And being able to pray is a gift from the one that we actually pray to. So you think about that. You get to talk to the one true God, the creator of everything, because you are his child in Christ Jesus. And he listens to you with interest. You got to know that. And he has ordained this prayer relationship in his special love for you. So you really should appreciate your great privilege, especially since God urges you to devote yourself to praying to him. And that's what he does. It's in Colossians 4:2. Listen to this. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Prepare your heart for this sermon. God says, devote yourself to pray to him. Let's pray together now. Father, guide me to preach that we would take in the message from your word about what we are to do and that we would practice it continually. Use this to bring us to that place to be praying to you in devotion, in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I get into this, I think it's very interesting that Paul presses prayer like it's something that you need to be told to do. And with this, that you need to be told to do more than just pray, Paul says devote. Devote yourself to the practice. And the devotion is not a kind of ritualistic kind of a routine. It's not a call to muster up extra effort to pray more intensely. That's not what this is. It's also not a call to a particular kind of a technique. There's all kinds of prayer techniques. There's books written on techniques. There's formulas actually out there. And they're touted as the ways to make your prayers more effective. I'm going to get into biblical ways to make your prayers effective, but for now, Paul's point is simple. It's very straightforward. Listen, be committed to the practice of prayer by praying more often, by doing it regularly on an ongoing focused basis. You do it, then you do it again, then you do it again and again. And in your ongoing practice, be enthusiastic about it. Notice that Paul says, yourselves, devote yourselves. And so Paul's talking to everyone in the body of Christ, and that's you. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior by grace through faith, you're in the body of Christ. Prayer is a special spiritual gift that we all have to use. You have it. No Christian is absent of this gift. Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. That little statement, in the Spirit, sometimes throws people off. They think that they got to get all mystical about this. But you are in the Spirit as a Christian. You are in the Spirit covenantally and communally, and the Spirit is in you. You have the gift for all prayer and petition in you now. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave and come back and leave and come back. He's in you. That's the way the relationship is. Now, here's the thing. The unsaved don't have this. Now, there are some unsaved people who think they're praying to God, but the problem is they don't have the gift. They're absent of the Holy Spirit relationship, which holds the keys, and it opens the doors and all this. Romans 8:9 says this, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's what you are, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not belong to Christ. You have the Holy Spirit, and you pray in the Spirit. The Spirit is your advocate, giving you the God-given right. And this relationship is so unique that Paul even teaches that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you when you don't know how to pray as you ought. That's over in Romans as well. But when it comes to this devotion, you are the one praying. I'm the one praying. We are doing it. And being devoted to it is exactly what we need to be doing. You also need to follow simple guidelines. Now, the things I'm getting into are the real techniques for the true effectiveness. And one important one is that you need to pray according to God's word, which is called the sword of the Spirit. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're praying according to the parameters of the actual revelations of the word of God. And these are what he has laid down for you and for me to understand and look to as we pray. It keeps us from praying for things that are sinful. Some people do. Or according to sinful motivations. Keeps you from praying nonsensical things. Happens all the time. But it will keep you that, from doing that. And so what you're doing is you pray as God's child in spirit, but you still must pray according to the truth of the Holy Spirit. And it guides you with parameters for what to say. There are even passages which they just tell you exactly what to pray. And it's an easy guideline on your end. And there's another important guideline, and it is to consider God's end. And in this realization, God always has the time, and he always has the attention to listen to you. With God, there's no place in Scripture that he directs you to pray less, and God does not think that you can pray to him too much. So don't think that you can. You're never bothering God by praying a whole bunch of prayers. Embrace the specialness of this, that God is telling you to pray to him a lot. Now, there is a kind of repetition that God does not want, but it's only a certain type. And it's what Jesus called meaningless repetition in Matthew 6:7. Jesus said, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, because they suppose they're going to be heard for their many words. Now, he's talking about the empty chants and the formulaic prayers of Gentile pagans. But instead, what God wants is for you to use meaningful repetition where you know that God hears you and you can use as many words as you want to. You know, this is what Jesus did when he prayed the same prayer over and over and over again when he is praying to the Father to take the bitter cup from him, the cup of grief, to the point of death experience in the garden. It's the way Paul prayed over and over for a thorn in his flesh to be removed. Same prayer over and over. It was meaningful repetition. God is not thinking you're praying too much. You got to understand that. So when you're praying, never think that your prayer is trivial to God, that it's a trivial thing that's happening as you're praying. You're getting it out. That's what he wants. But you got to be careful because some Christians think these things. Never think your prayer is meaningless. Some think this. It's not true. It is meaningful. Every single one of your prayers has relational and relevant meaning to God, your Father. He's very interested in what you have to say. You have immense importance to him. Now, maybe you think you're just a molecule in the ocean of billions of Christians on this planet, and so you can get this wrong kind of a thinking that goes something like this. Since so many millions of Christians are praying at any given moment, you know, then God is probably not as interested in my specific prayers coming from my tiny little self. Or there's trillions upon trillions of events going on at any moment. So it doesn't seem like God would be interested in moving an event according to what I ask. Now, if you're thinking that, listen to me very carefully. You are not thinking biblically. And remember, prayer must be governed with biblical thinking. And so the biblical fact of the matter is the opposite. You are always hugely important to the one who gave his hugely important life as a sacrifice for you. This is the same one listening to you. And Scripture is clear in 1 John. God will give a yes answer to your request if he decides it lines up with his ultimate will in the grand scheme of things. So right now, and at any time, even if you think that you're just some kind of a number that's washing out in this giant wave of Christians praying to our wonderful Father each moment, your loving, caring Lord is intently listening to your every prayer thought, your every prayer word. You can pray with your mind, pray with your words. He's listening with interest in you, you as his dearly loved child. And get this, he has truly determined to answer according to what you have to say. Yes, you. And it's not that you've done something that makes you worthy to be listened to. It's another mistake some people get off on, thinking they have to start doing things to be made worthy to listen to by God. No. It's not that you're more special than other Christians. We all share the same specialness in the Spirit. We're all in the same boat. And it even goes for when you fail, or you have failed, when you're not doing everything perfectly. Well, we're in that same boat as well. See, God listens to you because the blood of Jesus has washed you completely squeaky clean. And he sees the success of his son in you. He's the success, not you. And as you pray, God sees what he has accomplished for you and in you. And so he listens to you each and every moment in the Spirit, because that's why we pray in the Spirit. And so the real concern, the one that you should be thinking deeply about right now, is that you should be devoted to prayer. Now, the Bible never indicates that prayer is a mere option. And again, it's people who do that. There's something else, and I want to touch on this when it comes to answering prayer, the answering part. Just as God always hears and wants to listen, he wants to hear you, God always, always answers every single one of your prayers. He may answer with a no answer, still a no to your prayer. And if he answers you with a no answer, be assured that it's the wisest answer because God is perfect wisdom. Be assured that it's the most loving answer because God is perfect love. And be assured that it's the best answer in God's perfect and his huge, comprehensive, sovereign understanding of everything. And this also means that God may answer with a yes answer. Also means that God may answer with an alternate provision, or God may have you wait patiently. His desire for you to wait and be patient, by the way, is an answer. The point is that whatever it is, God always answers your prayers. And along this line, be careful not to keep focusing on no answers to make those no answers to be a kind of standard of expectation with yourself. I was counseling some men at men's meeting a while back, and some of them were complaining that their prayers almost always seem to be answered with no from God. They pray about this and that, and they just get no, they just get no and no and no. That's the way they said it to me. And I told them about how God answers all prayers, but they still thought no was what they usually got. And I told them, start focusing then on the yes answers. Now, you're not ignoring the no answers or the wait answers or the alternate provision ones. You're focusing on the yes answers as a way of staying in tune with the fact that they really are there with you. You're just ignoring them. You're focusing on the no. And thank God for all the answers and move on. Confront the wrong thinking. You're confronting it head on as you start to slip into the belief that no after no after no after no is supposed to be something which is supposed to stop you from praying. No, that's not supposed to stop you. You have yes answers. They do occur. You have all kinds of answers from God. And the calling is to you is to be devoted to it. So to keep getting on track with this, compare your devotion to other things in life, because this is the deal. You're devoted to a lot of things. Some are even mundane, but you do them and you do them consistently. You know, every evening you're devoted to getting ready for bed, then going to sleep. Every day you're devoted to drinking fluids to keep hydrated. You're devoted to eating meals. You know what to do when you're hungry. You're devoted to it. Many are devoted to their business. Now, the Spirit is urging you to hunger for prayer to your Father all the time, like that devotion. Be thirsty to pray. But when you pray and then you stop, you go forward as if your thirst has still not been fully quenched. You follow what I'm saying? You're still thirsty after you pray. You want to pray some more. Now, you may think that you pray enough already. The urging is to pray even more. This is what the Spirit means by this. Even others, pray without ceasing. You can't pray too much, and you can always pray some more. Think about that. You know, don't take the idea of being thirsty for prayer lightly. Thirst like David longed to appear before the Lord in Psalm 42, 1 through 2, saying this, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, drink like Paul says to do over and over again, like in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I just quoted it earlier. Pray without ceasing. Okay, let's put those two together, all right? As the deer pants for the water, brooks, and devotion, my soul should want to pant and pray to you, God, without ceasing. My soul should thirst for prayer to him, always yearning, saying, when shall I come and appear before you, God, in prayer? Now, devote to it. And it can take on many forms, can occur for many reasons. Driving down the road, pray. I don't know how to pray driving down the road. Well, first of all, say thank you, God, that I'm not even getting in an accident. If you see somebody in an accident, Laura always prays everything in the world for the people in the accident. I just pray, Lord, if they're not saved, lead them to Christ through this. Lord, if they're saved, have Christians come help them out. She goes on and on and on about their life and their family and their car and everything. It, you know, but you can pray however you think you can. But it can occur for many reasons. And this is what we're talking about here is a petition. Ephesians 6:18 has that. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Remember, that's what you do. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. It means being devoted to going to God with specific things. That's petition. There's specific things on your mind. You're interceding, you're going, you're seeking God, you're petitioning Him for something. You're asking Him to do certain things. And when you do, just be open with God with your desires. Don't hold back asking Him for things. Know that He wants to provide in accordance with His sovereign understanding and trust Him in that. James 5:16 through 18 says, pray for one another so that you might be healed. Well, it says the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. And you are that person. You say, I am? Yeah, because the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteous person whose prayer can accomplish much. It's just what you are. You live that way. It's not all about you. It's more about who? It's about His righteousness in you, see? And then James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like yours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Well, James is talking about trusting God to provide in accordance with His sovereign understanding. James 4:1-3 speaks of that type of thing, sovereign understanding, trusting in God. And it says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. Well, James is saying, well, there is trust there. He's saying that you can trust God knows everything about your motives. But when you pray in ignorance, God knows what you don't know. So trust Him that you just don't understand everything like He does. Still pray, though. But understand and trust that God always answers the wisest way, the most loving way, and the best way. That's the trust issue at the end of the prayer. And this trust gets me to something else Paul said. It's the alert part. The alert part and keeping alert in your devotion of prayer. Now, this word alert, it means to be awake. But Paul's not talking about fighting to stay awake because you have drowsiness while you pray, which I know often at times if we're tired, we might have to do that. But the word Paul used here has a sense of a guard being watchful, on guard, a night watchman. Consider basically then all the events that are going on around us, like government, okay, nations, world events, all the way down to the minutest details of life. Be aware of them. These are things to be prayed about. You know, a lot of times we complain about what's going on in the world. I do. A lot of times we do all these different things. Let's complain to God about them. Go straight to God. Pray to Him. Ask. Make petitions. This means something as small as asking God to help you if you've lost something and you want to find it. So many miraculous provisions have happened with me that way. Now, I think of something that happened many years ago to our children when our children were young. I was giving a dad talk, and us dads know what I mean by this. It was about the consequences of sin. And I was making a point about how God, in the grace of Christ, He forgives us of our sins. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to be obedient. Sin is bad. Sometimes we sin. And the point was on the consequences of sin in light of the forgiveness. I explained that even though God forgives us of our sins, sometimes there are physical consequences and they continue to go on and they haunt us because of the sin. What we did lays out the consequence. And I explain that trust with others gets hurt, and so people may no longer trust you. I also explain that sometimes others get hurt, and the effects of the hurt continue on for some time, lingers. And as I was explaining these things, I thought I would use an illustration. I'd heard it before. I asked my sons, are you able to put an egg back together again after you've dropped it on the floor and it breaks? Now, I'm telling this story this morning, and we can all imagine how eggs splatter all over the floor when they're dropped. And so I was showing that there are sometimes irreparable consequences for sin. It's just a broken, smashed egg. There's nothing that you can do to put the egg back together. And so, you know, I was supposed to be the wise dad, right? But then one of my young sons spoke very profound wisdom back to me. And this is what he said. Remember, I asked, are you able to put an egg back together again and fix it if it drops to the floor? And he said, no, but Jesus can fix it. Now, think about that statement. I was making a completely different point, but that one just hit me like right between the eyes, right? And so, no, but Jesus can fix it. Well, later that very same day, I was hit with a sin tragedy, which occurred among some families that absolutely devastated everyone involved. And I mean, it was bad, this particular sin issue. And as I spoke to each family concerning all the sordid details, I kept bringing up the conversation I had earlier that morning with my children. I remember taking the time with each one to pray with them about the horrible situation. And as I prayed, this revelation was so intense with me, I asked God, fix the broken eggs, Lord. Please, according to your sovereign will, fix the broken. You're the only one that can fix broken eggs. This has become a prayer principle with me. I say it to the Lord all the time because we can't put it back together. And I share this now because the illustration about these bad consequences that, you know, we have because of sin, that's very right. It's very correct. But so was the greater insight of my son. Now, my later prayers that day, they were with the family, that families that were devastated, and I shared this story with them that they would understand it. The reason why we pray is because God says to trust him when it comes to who he is. He's the power being who can do anything that he wants to do. God can, and he still does, spiritually intervene. And this trust is part of being alert, because in the alertness, don't miss this, you see the broken eggs, what could you think about prayer? Oh, it's a broken egg. Don't pray about that. No. This is why you pray for broken eggs, because God is the one. This is why we go to him. He's the one. And we have to trust his part in everything, and we have to trust that he can fix it. See, as you're alert, you're going to become aware of broken eggs all over the place, and they are going to be opportunities for prayer. And then pray. Be alert to the fact that the world is held in bondage and sin. And with alertness married to this trust, you will hear about the way that government, which is supposed to care about you, serving you, has people in it who only care about using you for their own agendas. You might not know exactly how to pray about it, but you know to pray what you know to be good. That's what I do. All I know is to pray what I know to be good. Here's what we get from God's word, that through your prayer, and this is extremely important, everybody, through your prayer, I'm talking about you, God might change the course of a whole nation. Just one of you here. This is what the Bible says. This is what we see all through the Bible. Remember, Elijah's a man with a nature like yours. God changed the whole weather from one man praying with a nature like yours. So many places that the gospel of Christ is not being preached. There are billions of people who don't know Jesus. So are you alerted to this? See, are you aware? Then pray for the gospel to go out to the multitudes. That's what we're talking about. Be alert, be awake. Pray for spiritual revival for our nation. You certainly look around and you know that that's not what we're experiencing. Pray for our church here. Pray for me. Pray that we will be united. And just as importantly, that we will stay united. Pray for spiritual growth. Be aware. Be alert to what's going on with the people here. Then pray about whatever you detect. Pray for the impact of this church, that we will impact lives with the life of Christ Jesus. Pray about this mafia media and big tech cartel trying to mold you into a godless think drone of their own image. They're bombarding you everywhere right now. It's all over. Internet, news, whatever, fake news. Pray about the influence of the movie-making mind molders out there. We watch movies. They're trying to mold your thinking. It's more than entertainment, believe me. Well, how do you know that? Be alert. Be aware. The Bible's your guide, remember? Be alert to all that's going on in your own family. Be alert to marriage problems around you, to problems children are having. Be alert about all relationships, because strife, misunderstanding, and contempt are destroying the relationship of Christians like a disease. Christians that knew each other and they were friends once. They don't act like it anymore. It's happening in Christian families everywhere. Be aware, be alert. Not that it's a broken egg that can't be fixed, to pray about the broken egg. Pray against this disease that's going on, it's destroying relationships, and expect a miracle. God is the one that heals. Ask God for provision when you're strapped for money. You know, the economy is getting worse and worse and worse. We need to go to God. Be alert to needs of people around you. Ask God to help you minister to those people. There you go. I don't know how to minister to people. Just do what you do and have the Lord use you. But focus on him and keep asking in your mind, okay, what do I say next, God? What do I do next? How can I help this person? It may just be something with your hands. You don't have to be some kind of profound, you know, proclaimer of God's truth. But expect that he will show you how. And ask God to give you the words to speak healing and love to people. So much is needed today. Be aware. There are all kinds of things around us, broken egg situations. But the prayers of just one man or one woman or one little child that God chooses to answer with a yes answer can change the world. Fix the broken eggs, bring the miracles. But for it to happen, you got to be alert. And then do what? Pray. Now listen, a prayer that is not prayed is a prayer that is not answered. That's just the way it is. If you want answered prayers, you're going to have to pray. And a lot, like the scripture is telling you to do. Then there's that other thing. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, let's dissect that for a moment. God's done a lot in our lives. He's done a lot in your life, right? Always be thankful for what he's done, appreciating him and his hand in your life. But let's look at this closely. This one has to do with whatever answers you're going to get. Even though you don't know what they are, this has to do with what's going to come. And it also has to do with the answers that you were not originally asking for. You see, thanksgiving to God also shows trust. You're thankful for God's ultimate wisdom, his rightness, his love, and his answers in the grand scheme of things. It could be in the midst of tragedy, where it seems like no good can come from this at all. It can be in the midst of depression. Some of us get very depressed. It can be in the midst of confusion. A lot of that happens. Your attitude of thanksgiving in these times is going to have to be a faith issue. Unthankfulness is a manifestation of lack of faith. See? Thankfulness is also worship. You're telling God that you respect him as you respect his overall plan. That's why you're being thankful. And so the attitude in the prayer is, God, I thank you for your answer in faith. And I trust you. I just trust you. You're praying with thankfulness in advance for whatever God is going to do. And so understand, in this thankfulness, though you may get a no, or you might get a wait, or this alternate kind of provision answer, what you're doing is you're acknowledging God is not ignoring you, see? And you're acknowledging the perfection in his answers. A lot of times, the temptation, and it's wrong, is that there's not a perfection in what God's deciding to do. Don't go that route. That's lack of faith. That's sin. There's always perfection in his answers, and it's consistent with every single prayer throughout history. Always has been perfect, his answer. So here's the thing. Be thankful in faith, rejecting any thought that your thanks must be outcome-based on whatever you like the answer or not to be. You just need to thank him. This is the urging we're getting. It's all from God's word. So devote yourself to prayer like it's a hunger. Devote yourself to God in prayer, all times expecting that he has been waiting for each time that you do pray. He has real attention to truly care and listening to you, that he wants to listen to you so much that he's even telling you to pray from his word. And yes, you failed, and it's in the rigged game of trying to be perfect. You'll never be able to win. But pray knowing God still wants to listen to you because you are in the perfect one. You are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you spiritually. He loves you with real grace love, not just mouthed off grace. It's real grace, okay? It's real unmerited favor. So look for his answers with trust and thanksgiving. Be aware of everything. Nurture that intuition, that prayer sensitivity to handle it with prayer, and expect miracles like broken eggs, which seem impossible to put back together, being put back together again by God. Amen?